WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, and welcome to the student section. We're going to be joining us on the September 11th, doing a college football recap show here on 90.7 The Capstone. We thank you for tuning in. My name is Joe Schatz, joined by Nicholas, our host last week, who... You know, we didn't think was doing quite good enough, so I took the reins. We figured we'd make the switch, you know, maybe save something, I don't know. But anyway, college football recap after what has quite simply been a wild college football week two.
Yeah. I mean, I don't... Even crazier than week one, which, you know, who could have predicted that? We've got two banger weeks in a row. I've got to say, first off, something is wrong with kickers across the country. Just absolute chaos, not only in college football, but in the NFL today with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati.
Yeah. A lot of weird things happened, like things that I don't think a lot of people expected. There's a lot of miscues on just in general in football this weekend. So, you know, for the most part, it was rather stressful, I think. Getting into our first topic here, Alabama and Texas, they played a football game. 20-19 was the final. Alabama scored 10 points in the fourth quarter to pull it out. They were down 19-17 before a crazy drive led by Bryce Young got them within field goal range. Will Reichard nails the kick. He takes it, and Alabama is 2-0 by the skin of their teeth. So
yeah, first off, let me just say how grateful I am that Alabama did not lose to a field goal by a kicker with the last name Auburn.
Yes,
that had the potential to be disastrous. First time that Alabama has played Texas since that 2010 national championship game that Texas fans just refuse to let you forget. And, you know, I would imagine they're not going to let us forget this one for a long time. Quinn Ewers, of course, goes down with the injury early after the hit from Dallas Turner. I do have to say, I don't think that you can call roughing the passer there. I think it's a weak call, in my opinion. To me, it looked like Ewers was in the air, still trying to throw the ball when Turner initiates the hit. He has no way to stop, in my opinion.
Yeah, there are a couple, I think, very questionable calls and no calls that I think for both teams. I think it got to a point where the refs were just not – like they were – I don't want to say the refs were bad, but the refs were bad to a point where it all just evened out. You did not know what was going to get called, what wasn't going to get called. That weird play with Bryce Young in the end zone where people thought it was a safety, and then they called, like, roughing the passer.
Well, they call it on the field, roughing the passer with targeting.
Yeah.
And then they come back after 5 minutes of discussion and say, oh, well, actually, it was described wrong to the official. That's the first time I've ever heard that.
Yeah, that was weird because, like, I don't know. And I don't know enough about the referees, but surely the official's the one describing it. Like, I don't... Well, if it was described wrong to him, I just find that, like, really weird that... Because, like, you're right. Like, I've never seen that or heard of that.
Well, what I don't understand is, too, you know, first off, before I go off on this tangent, I've got to say, like, the amount of time that it took to make decisions in this game was unbelievable. Yes. You know, we were looking at 5 minutes per decision, and this happened several times throughout the game, and it just kills the momentum. You know, I mean, we had a fantastic game on our hands. It was a great watch. Stressful for Alabama fans, but just a great game on our watch, and you have to feel like the refs kind of took away from that a little bit with the call. The other thing that I had to say was, you know, if it was described wrong to you and the ref knew that, why do you not get back on the PA immediately and correct it?
Yeah,
I mean, that should have been something that was said, right?
There had to have been like I feel like it didn't take 5 minutes for them to tell the guy that the thing was wrong.
Yeah,
I don't think it did, but regardless, talking getting away from the referees and getting to the actual football game at hand. I think you're right. It was a great watch. I mean, it's one of those games where, like, now that it's over, like, I will go back and, like, watch it and, like, not, you know, because I like the game. It was too stressful in the moment, but going back, you're like, okay, classic game, like, very intense, very, like, emotional. Texas was packed. I think they said it was 105,000 people there.
I saw that it was the first time they've ever sold out the student section.
Yeah, it's, which is, like, that's weird in itself to me, yeah, that Texas didn't do that. But anyway, you know, I think there was, I think you're right there. I mean, it was packed house, you know, Fox Big Noon kickoff, even though it's 11 a.m. for us. You know, everything was, you know, it had that big game feel to it, except maybe for the wake up. So I think for the action on the field, crazy game. We'll break, get into some numbers here a little bit. For Alabama first, Bryce Young, you know, kind of had an okay game, I guess, for his standards. He made a couple of very big plays, like, that, you know, he was able to, I believe he had 38 rushing yards, and he had a really big roll one in that last, or went in one of the, it wasn't the last drive, I think it was the second to last Alabama possession, that they scored the touchdown, and he had a really nice drive. That touchdown throw was incredible. I mean, if you look at the numbers, 27 to 39 passing, 213 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. Seems like a very, like, standard, like, okay type of game. But watching it, he kind of, at a point, same thing, and I wanted to get into this a little bit, but this game reminded me a lot of the Iron Bowl last year, where the offense couldn't score until they had to score, and Bryce Young was able to kind of put the team on his back and be able to score. So, yeah, crazy game by him.
Yeah, you've got to really tip your hat to Bryce Young. I mean, he's shown us time and time again that, you know, even when everything is going wrong for Alabama, he has the capability, the talent to put this team on his back and, you know, get them the win. We saw it last year in Auburn. We saw it again in Austin this year. But, you know, the big thing for me was, you know, you might say that Bryce didn't have a fantastic game. But I think the biggest thing was that early on, I mean, his receivers were really letting him down. Yeah. It felt like he had nobody to throw to. I mean, early on, I want to say it was after the first or second quarter, Jahmyr Gibbs was the only Alabama receiver. He's not even a receiver. He's a running back. But he was the only Alabama player to have more than one reception. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, to me, the only reason that Alabama even had a chance to win this game is because of Bryce Young and Jahmyr Gibbs, who really showed up this week. You have to commend him.
Yeah, no, he did. And especially he was relatively quiet last week against Utah State. He had like 93 yards, I believe, on 9 carries last week, but he had the really long run and then just kind of a bunch of short runs. But, you know, against Texas, he didn't quite, it was nine carries, 22 yards, but he had 9 receptions, Jahmyr Gibbs, 74 yards and a touchdown. And if you can't run the ball with him, he's shown, and one of the things that, you know, I think I didn't really understand how good he was at this, but just the ability for him to, out of the backfield, to get into the passing game was something that I didn't think he had, but something that massively helped Bryce Young and just Alabama in general. So
yeah, I mean, he showed us he's an excellent receiving back, really just gives Alabama another weapon, which they're going to need this year. You know, I think Alabama fans in recent years have kind of been spoiled by elite receivers, you know, Mechie, Waddle.
Yeah, Devontae Smith.
Devontae Smith.
Judy.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going back a couple years, so.
There's just not, I don't know, you know, maybe I'm calling it too early, two games into the season, but it just doesn't look like there's that same type of speed, that same type of elite receiver play for Alabama yet. And, you know, you've got to be glad they had Jahmyr Gibbs, because if they didn't have him, I mean, we could have been looking at a blowout with a backup quarterback in there.
Yeah. Yeah, and kind of the shocking thing for me talking about receivers is just the fact that there were so, I shouldn't say so many, but there were quite a few drops of passes that should have been made. You know, like Bryce Young made the pass and, you know, it went through hands of somebody, or, you know, guy read the route wrong. I remember there was a play where I think Kobe Prentice was supposed to just kind of sit in between. So Texas was running a zone, and the linebacker and corners had this wide open space in between them, and he was supposed to sit in it. But Prentice kept running, and Bryce Young threw behind him because the route, like, I guess the route, well, or the
Bryce expects him to sit there.
Yeah, and I mean, and Prentice, to be fair, is a freshman, so I mean, and it's his second collegiate game, so, you know, it's not like you know, he's not like going to be a terrible receiver that I'm, you know, going to announce that he's bad, but any or anything, but there were just a couple miscues by the receiving room where it, you're right, it's definitely worrisome, to say the least.
Yeah, and you know, I'll give them credit on the last couple on the last drive. They really did step up. Trayshon Holden had a couple of really good catches. Ja'Cory Brooks. But, you know, for the first three quarters of this game, they were nowhere to be seen. And, you know, that has to give you some level of concern if you're an Alabama fan. You know, Bryce had the ball on a rope, especially there late in the game. I mean, you mentioned that throw to Gibbs. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, he flipped his hips. And, you know, I mean, that window's less than a yard wide. It's unreal. Throwing off his back foot, I mean, just unreal stuff from Bryce Young there. But, you know, we know that he has that in him. You just need the receivers to step up.
Yeah, and I think the thing is that, you know, now obviously last week was Utah State, a very different team, you know, to Texas. But last week it was – like all it was it, we were talking about how like all the receivers were making plays. It was, I think Holden had two touchdowns, Burton had two touchdowns, and they were like at 6-7 receptions. There was like, I think 11 total guys got a pass, like got a reception in that game, and I'm counting here 8 guys got a reception against Texas, and I believe 3 of the people were running backs.
Yeah,
so, you know, it's, sorry, excuse me, I'll get this right. 2 of them are running backs, and Cameron Latu was also a big guy in the passing game for them. So, you know, the receivers didn't quite step up in the big time game against Texas. So I think, you know, and I don't know how deep we're going to get into the UL Monroe game for the weekend, but, you know, I think for that game and even like the Vanderbilt game after that, just getting the receivers back on track with Bryce and the offense, just being able to move the ball more effectively, it's something that I think Saban's going to work on and the offense is going to work on probably until they're, you know, sick of it. So.
Well, you know, one thing for sure, I definitely would not want to be at the next Alabama practice.
No, I wouldn't even be shocked if they got off the plane right to the field, to be honest. I wouldn't be shocked if that was a quick turnaround time for practice.
Oh, there definitely was no steak dinner that night.
No.
One thing that we haven't gotten into, and one of the biggest reasons why Coach Saban was rightfully so frustrated after the game, even after a win, Alabama had 15 penalties in the first 3 quarters of this game. That is the most in the Nick Saban era. It was very uncharacteristic for a Nick Saban team. Just undisciplined, lots of really questionable mistakes, especially from Will Anderson Jr. You know, we'll talk about it. Obviously had probably the game-winning sack, you can argue. A huge block of a field goal. But he made some huge mistakes in this game. He had 3 offsides penalties, a late hit that was just egregious.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of dumb penalties. I mean, it's one thing where, you know, like if not 15 penalties, no matter what type of penalties they are, is never good. But like, it's one thing if it was like holding, you know, like Alabama just wasn't like blocking well or something. But these were like roughing the passer, and like whether it was like, you know, a good call or not, they were like roughing the passer or personal fouls or like big like 15 yard like drive altering penalties. I mean, there are a couple of times, I don't, you know, exactly remember all 15 penalties, but there were a couple of times. I remember Will Anderson, he had the I think the most notable example of it, he had a personal foul call on like a third down. Like Alabama was about to go off the field, like get off the field, get the offense back on the field, and Will Anderson, like the, I believe a running back caught a pass and he fell, and then Will Anderson just shoves him to the ground, and you're like, I mean, like, why would you do that? Like, that's just such a bad decision.
I almost thought, you know, maybe he thought he was in the NFL already, you know, because yeah, I mean, in the NFL he wouldn't be down. But
that's what I was thinking, but I just didn't know, because I was saying, I was like, oh, like he didn't think the guy was down, but like, I don't know, you've been in college for, you know, with what, 3 years now, or and you know, high school football, it's not like you have to touch the guy when he's down, so I don't know, but a lot of dumb penalties.
Yeah, definitely not something you would expect to see from someone of the caliber Will Anderson is, you know, likely going to be one of the top picks in the NFL draft. I will say, as a, it's kind of a different tangent, but as a Cowboys fan, I thought I was watching the wild card game from last season. You know, Alabama has 15 penalties in this game. In that game, the Cowboys had 14, you know, the most penalized team in the whole NFL. Don't even get me started about that. But it didn't feel like I was watching Alabama. Just, you know, maybe until the last drive.
Yeah, you were watching pretty much Alabama, like, play into Texas's hands. And now the one thing I will give Alabama credit defensively is that Bijan Robinson really didn't have a game. Like 21 carries, 57 yards. He had the one touchdown, but 2.7 yards a carry. Alabama held Texas to 79 rushing yards as a team.
Which is impressive against somebody who most would argue is Bijan, the best running back in college football.
Yeah, Bijan Robinson might legitimately win the Heisman. I mean, like, I don't necessarily think he will, but like he might, like he's in that conversation. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of times, like, you know, I thought it was a weird game for Alabama. It was one of the games where, you know, kind of like the Iron Bowl last year, or even, you know, the A&M game obviously last year, where like you're watching the game and you're like, okay, this is not like an Alabama football team that is, you know, going to blow out, you know, teams that they should have. I mean, because, let's be honest, like, Texas, we don't know, like, anything with Texas anymore. I've never found a more confusing team in my life, because they have all of the players, and, like, they've had the players for a long time, pretty much since that national championship game against Alabama. They've always had the talent. They've just never been able to win. And so Texas, I mean, they could be a good team. You know, who knows? We're going to talk about the AP poll rankings later. They're now a top 25 team. I think they're 21st. So, I mean, they could be, this might be a very different Texas team, but they're a very, very different Alabama team.
Yeah, I think if you're a Longhorns fan, you have to be thrilled. You know, once again, I'll draw another comparison to the Cowboys. Cowboys in opening week last year against Brady and the Buccaneers, the reigning Super Bowl champions. You know, Cowboys fans were pretty excited after the first game. Yeah. Rightfully so, because what happened? You got goated. You know, you gave Tom Brady too much time at the end of the game. He leads a game-winning drive. There wasn't really much you could do. And if you're Texas, you got Heisman. You know, you gave Bryce Young too much time at the end of the game, and he led a masterclass of a 2-minute drill, and you got Heisman. That's simple enough.
No, yeah, that's exactly right. And I mean, that this is like the most, I don't want to make a comparison this dramatic. Like, I don't really mean to, but like, it's a lot like watching LeBron James play basketball to a point, and like, you know, like he's on the Lakers are bad. Last year the Lakers were bad, but LeBron James would put up like 60 points, and you're like, okay, like he's different. And it's the same thing with Bryce Young, I feel, where there's a lot of games, like, you know, the game this past week, you know, yesterday, where nobody's really playing great, but like Bryce Young is able to just kind of do it and get out, and, you know, Alabama's going to go and win, and they're 2-0 and probably have the worst week of practice imaginable. So
yeah, I mean, he has to, you could make an argument that he's the most valuable player in college football.
Yes.
I mean,
undoubtedly.
I don't know if I said it last week or not, but somebody was saying that if Bryce Young was 3 inches taller, he would be the consensus number one pick.
Yeah,
you know, people would talk about him like he's the most elite quarterback.
Yeah,
ever.
He does a lot of things where, like, you don't see that from a college quarterback. Like, his awareness and his, like, composure is, like, incredible. But yeah, so I don't know. He was able to lead him on the field. Will Reichard, I will give a lot of credit to Will Reichard, because his first field goal was, I think, 52 yards, and he hit the game-winning one. And I think that gets, like, overlooked, because the drive was incredible to get him to that field goal. But I want to give a, you know, quick little shout out to Will Reichard for making the kick, because, I mean, even though it was a 30-yarder, or 33 yards, I think, technically, so, you know, you still got to put it through the upright. So credit to him.
Yeah, but, I mean, Saban said it after the game. He said that, you know, it's a treat having a guy like Will Reichard on your team.
Yeah, well, I mean, sorry to cut you off. I was going to say, look at the Texas kicker and their special teams. I mean, he missed a field goal in what turned out to be a one-point game, like from 20 yards. So, I mean, I think
it did get blocked.
Yeah, it got blocked.
Well, I understand with the huge play. A lot of people didn't.
Wasn't it? I think, like, the laces were out, too. Like, the kicker was going to kick. I don't think he was going to make it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, just to have your special teams down pat, especially at Alabama, which historically has never had that, is something very good. But anyway, we got to take a break, because we have gone quite over the time. It's almost 7:30, so we come back, we'll talk some more college football, break down the AP polls. You know, if you guys didn't know, Notre Dame lost a small little game against Marshall. So, yeah, we thank you for tuning in. It's 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to the student section. Thank you for tuning in. It's around 7:30, Sunday, September 11th. We got Jim and Nick here talking more college football. We just kind of, you know, lightly brushed over Alabama's game. but now we're going to talk, because it really was, including the Alabama-Texas game, it really was just a wild week for college football. And we'll start it in College Station, Texas, where Appalachian State went into Texas A&M and beat the Aggies 17-14. They kicked a field goal in the fourth quarter, which ended up being the difference. They also, A&M missed a field goal kind of late in that game. And it really was like their last chance, because I believe it was under like four or five minutes left in the game. So, yeah, a crazy, crazy weekend, you know, for the Aggies. Haynes King had under 100 yards passing. They had 100 yards rushing as a team. And just, yeah, not Jimbo's best performance out there. I should say. So
yeah, I mean, I'd just like to remind everybody that this is probably one of the best college football recruiting classes that we had ever seen. Absolutely blew the doors off of anybody else in the 2022 class. I think had 8 5-stars.
Yeah, I know. I know it was rated. So Alabama had a class, I think it was 2020, that was rated very highly. Like, it was, I believe, was it the Bryce Young class, or was it The year after freshman. One of like these recent years, Alabama had a really good one, and that was rated the highest, and this A&M class like blew that one out of the water.
So. Well, I mean, according to Nick Saban, they allegedly paid for this class.
Yeah, they kind of bought it. So,
I mean, this is a tough loss for A&M. You know, you come into this year, you know, you have everything you could possibly want. You've got the best recruiting class in your school's history. It's not even close. You come in as the number six ranked team in the whole country. You beat Alabama last year, which they will never shut up about. Mm-hmm. And Appalachian State comes to College Station.
Yeah.
They get paid.
It was $1.5
million.
$1.5 million.
And they come in and knock off the Aggies at home.
Yeah.
Kyle Field is a really tough place to play. I mean, that building is electric. I remember. I can remember who told me this, but somebody said for one game in the press box was literally shaking. You could feel the press box shaking back and forth just because of how much energy is in that building. And I'll give them credit for that, but, I mean, this is a tough, tough loss this early in the season.
Yeah, it's like I don't want to say it is because we're only 2 weeks in, but it's almost like a playoff deciding loss for them. I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess unless they, like, win the SEC championship, I guess would be maybe, like, their only way back in. But losing to App State, which, I mean, credit to App State, because, you know, we were talking kind of before the show, like, App State has a lot of, like, transfers who came from relatively talented schools. Like, they got a couple, like, SEC transfers on their team, ACC transfers. So they have the talent. So credit to them, but yeah, for A&M, horrible loss. Another team that's, I think, now way out of the playoffs, Notre Dame, we'll get into them, losing to the Marshall Thundering Herd. 26-21 was the final. Marcus Freeman's tenure at Notre Dame is not starting off great. Notre Dame, a couple of the numbers, I should say for Marshall, Henry Colombi, their quarterback, 16-21. 145 yards and a touchdown, but really the player for them was Kalon LeBourne, I believe, sorry if he's listening, from West Virginia. 31 carries, 163 yards, and a touchdown. And they just played a very solid game. Notre Dame was kind of unable to move the ball on them, which is kind of weird. Notre Dame scored 14 of the 21 points in the fourth quarter. And yeah, Marshall had a clutch, very like crucial pick six. And yeah, and I mean, I will point out this, Notre Dame, I guess you can, like Marcus Freeman is new to the job, but like Notre Dame should lose to Marshall.
Yeah, no.
So
definitely a Scott Frost-esque start to Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. You know, one thing that I just want to get out of the way is that maybe the grass isn't always greener. You know, you could argue that Brian Kelly would not have lost his first three games as a head coach.
Well, he probably wouldn't have lost to Marshall.
Yeah, that's it's a tough look. And, you know, this game, don't let the score fool you. Notre Dame had a late touchdown that really they weren't in the game at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
But they really just got outclassed here, which, yeah. I mean, if you're Notre Dame, college football, blue blood, you know, I'll argue, despite just getting blown out every single time you get to the playoffs. You should not be getting manhandled by Marshall.
Yeah, no, and I mean, that's the one thing that just kind of like surprised me because I didn't watch it. I wasn't really watching the game live, but I sat down and I watched, you know, kind of the YouTube, you know, ESPN highlights of it. And yeah, Notre Dame were just getting like outplayed, which is something that like cannot happen at Notre Dame when you're playing at a school like Marshall. And I mean, it's interesting just how the tides turned. Because last week, remember, it was, and we lost, I think it was 21-10 to Ohio State. People were like, well, not a bad result. The defense played well. You know, we can maybe cause some noise. Like, you know, Notre Dame might be, like, not that bad. And it's like, yeah, okay, now they seem like they're bad. So,
yeah, I mean, you have a huge game to open week one. And you think, oh, you know, you could almost be okay with the first loss. But now you have to start questioning how impressive Ohio State's win was in the first week.
Yeah, I guess. Very weird game. And it's interesting, I'm looking at this now, and we're gonna talk about the really break down the polls in the next segment, but so Notre Dame's not ranked anymore. Which I can't remember the last time Notre Dame was unranked. I can't.
I mean, you go from number 8 to
unranked. Yeah. And here's the interesting thing. So they're unranked. You go to the 25. It says, the others receiving votes category. Marshall's getting 85 votes. App State's getting 80. I'm just scrolling through the teams here. Mississippi State's getting 43. Minnesota's getting 37 votes. Notre Dame's getting 23 votes. Notre Dame's not getting as much votes as Minnesota, Washington, Kansas State, Marshall, Cincinnati, and App State. Like, that's a problem. Like, they're not, they got to go a couple ways down. But yeah, anyway, and I guess our last big topic from this past weekend, but really, I guess, big topic from today. But, talking about the school a little bit more, Nebraska, Scott Frost is no longer their coach. And the reason is because they lost to Georgia. Well, they lost to a lot of teams, but they lost to Georgia Southern on Saturday by 3. They're 1-2 in the season right now. And that includes a 31-28 loss against Northwestern in Ireland. They then beat North Dakota, 38-17, and it was a 7-7 game at halftime. And, and it was 24-17 going into the fourth. So, tough game there. And then they play Georgia Southern in Lincoln. Mind you, I should say this too. The Northwestern game was on the road. Well, it was neutral in Ireland, but then North Dakota and Georgia Southern came to Nebraska and almost beat them. So, Georgia State did.
Yeah, I mean, it's just wild. The Sun Belt is winning for sure. Look, I have to say, I'm really shocked that. Well, I'm not shocked that Scott Frost is out at Nebraska. He definitely needed to be. And I'll go over some of his stats while at Nebraska here in a moment. But if you're Nebraska, his buyout was, I believe they bought him out for $15 million, somewhere around that.
Yeah,
if they would have waited until October 1st, his buyout would have been half that, less than half that. So it makes you think, what is going on in Nebraska that you would not wait 3 weeks-ish get rid of your head coach and save your program $7 million.
Yeah, I don't get that financially, but I guess you save yourself from watching Scott Frost coach your team. I don't know, but it is just wild because Nebraska football, for maybe those who don't quite understand, or I shouldn't say don't understand, but don't exactly like study the history of college football, Nebraska was, I would argue, the Alabama of like the 60s, 70s, 80s, I think. Maybe even into the 90s, but they were like a dominant team. I think they were like the team to beat in whatever the conferences were called back then. They were always like number one, number two. And I think for them, they almost now have like no direction. Because Scott Frost, I think, was like supposed to be the guy because he played at Nebraska, came back, wanted to coach there, had a good season at UCF. He got the Nebraska job, and I think now he's like 16-31 as their head coach.
Yeah, so I would just like to remind everybody that Scott Frost has had a grand total of one winning season as a college football head coach, and that was obviously at UCF. The magical year that they still claim to be the national champions of in 2017. And I'll give them credit. That was an incredible year. That was a great team. But I think that it just shows how important experience is when you're hiring a head coach. And I think that you're going to see Nebraska with their next hire, you know, get somebody that's more experienced, proven record, because they hopped on arguably the bandwagon with Scott Frost, and they paid for it. They began his first season with 6 straight losses, was the worst start to a football season in their school's history. Frost had a record of 5-20 in one possession football games and 10-25 in Big Ten games. And he never beat a ranked opponent at Nebraska. Just let that sink in for a minute. I mean, it's unreal. They lost 9 games in 2021 by single digits. I mean, that's...
Yeah, and I mean, so it got to a point even where, like, because I remember this last year, they were losing a lot of games by, like, 2 points. And, like, they were in a lot of one-possession games. And I remember people, like, Scott Frost essentially changed the narrative around what it means to lose a one-possession game in football, in college football at least, because, like, it started, like, when they were doing it, they were like, okay, like, the team, like, we're fighting, we're only down, like, we only lost by, like, 7, or they only lost by, you know, 4. So, like, you know, if this goes our way, we win. But it was happening so much that, like, the notion of, like, they were just an unlucky team, like, kind of evaporated, because he was, like, doing it at, like, he was doing it like that was his job, was to just lose these one possession games, because he was making a lot of weird decisions. And yeah, I don't get it. There's a lot of names lined up for the job. Bill O'Brien apparently is one of them.
It wouldn't surprise me, honestly.
Yeah. Scott Frost might be next in line for an Alabama offensive analyst. he might get one of the booth spots. So we'll have to see on that. But we will take a quick break here. Come on the other side, talk a little AP poll. You know, what changed, because a lot did. So yeah, thank you for tuning in. It's 90.7 Nebraska.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Sections college football wrap up live here on 90.7 Capstone. I'm Nicholas. I'm joined by Joe tonight. And for this final segment, we're just going to kind of go over the AP polls. We're going to make some predictions, our biggest losers and winners for the week. So, like you said,
settle in.
We're going to start off with the AP poll. Georgia jumps to number 1 in the AP poll. You know, pretty much what we were expecting.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, especially because Georgia has, I mean, Alabama beating Texas, like, could be a big deal, could not be. And Texas, and realistically, I mean, like we were talking about, they could be a 10-2 team, or they could be a 5-7 team, and there's really no in between for them, it seems. So, you know, don't quite know how impressive that win is. And Georgia has been cruising. I think they've led up 3 total points in 2 games, and they've scored about like 90. So
yeah, like, I mean,
so the one thing makes sense.
One thing I will say is that, you know, we haven't seen Georgia play a, like, top tier opponent yet. You could argue Oregon in the first week, but we really don't know what they look like yet. It's hard to judge early in the season. Ohio State stays at 3. The other big gainers, Kentucky up 11 spots after their 26-16 victory at Florida. Arkansas up 6 spots after they take down Spencer Rattler and South Carolina. Other big gainers, BYU up 9 spots after knocking off number 9 Baylor in double OT?
Yes.
Double OT. Yeah, double OT.
That was another weird game with kickers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Utah dropping a spot, but I will say, okay, last week I said that we could be coming on here next week and saying how that the biggest loser could be the state of Utah with their all their football programs just going up in flames. But I'll give credit to Utah. a week after their loss, they go out and beat Southern Utah 73-7.
Yeah, I will say though, you know, before the Utah people get too happy, that Utah State did get crushed by Weber State 35-7. I remember seeing that on the scorecard, did not believe it. But yeah, Utah State did lose. But the other two schools, Utah, BYU, did all right.
Yeah. Tennessee, also a big gainer, up 9 spots after their overtime victory versus Pittsburgh. That was a fantastic game.
Yeah, that was a great game to watch, especially because I didn't really care who won. And I like having that feeling when you're watching a game like that. Because, like, the Alabama-Texas game, like we said, it's like a classic game, but I hated watching it. Like, watching it live was miserable. So, yeah, I don't know. The AP poll this week is a little, it's a little interesting because it seems like if you just won, you're bound to move up.
Yeah.
Like, every team that won, I think, moved up to an extent. Like, I think besides probably Utah, who moved down a spot. But yeah, just a
wild week.
Yeah, like this was the week to schedule FCS teams. You know, I like if you you know, like I'm looking at like Michigan State jumped up 3 spots and they beat Akron 52-0. You know, I mean, like some of the, like yeah, it was NC State moved up 2 and played a team called Charleston Southern. Like Central Arkansas played Ole Miss. Or I should say Ole Miss beat Central Arkansas 59-3 and moved up 2 spots almost just because they had to, because there were just so many moving pieces. Like you said, like a lot of movement. And I guess we'll get into A&M dropped 18
spots. One thing I will mention, Bo Nix revenge tour 70-14 against Eastern Washington, however much you want to read it.
Yeah, that makes it. That makes it the revenge tour. He's back.
Bo Nix is back. The Heisman Dark Horse is back.
Yes.
Anyway, so let me just ask, who did you have as your biggest winner coming out of week 3?
All right, so I think I know where you're going to go. And me and you were very similar, I think, in when we were talking before the show, what we were going to say for this. So I'm going to go away from what I think you're going to pick. And I'm going to go to my biggest winner. To be honest, this was a week where, and it might sound like a cop-out, but I have a feeling the biggest winner was, like, us. Like, the fans.
Yeah.
Like, we had a very good week. Like if you were sitting down and watching, you know, if you had like your 6 TVs up, all with different games, none of them were bad. Like every game, unless you're watching the Eastern Washington Oregon game, or you're watching, you know, I don't know, if you have Central Arkansas Ole Miss, like if you, as long as you're not watching those games, it was a really good week. Obviously, we talked Alabama Texas was a great game. The game you just mentioned with
Pitt Tennessee was a great game.
BYU Baylor at night was a crazy game.
That was a
Kentucky Florida, which I think we wanted to get into, but kind of ran out of time on. That was a great win for Kentucky.
It was.
And, you know, one that I picked. I think for me the winner just was the fans, because you couldn't go wrong in a game.
Yeah, so for me, this is probably one of the most obvious winner selections ever. But the true winner was the Sun Belt. I mean, just unbelievable week. I mean, their conference Twitter account had to be going crazy this week. A very interesting statistic here. Notre Dame, Texas A&M, and Nebraska paid Sun Belt teams a collective 4.173 million dollars to play home games today, and all three of them lost. Aforementioned Marshall, App State, and Georgia Southern.
Yeah, and even I'm looking at the conference scoreboard here. Georgia State gave North Carolina a game. It was 35-28 there. James Madison, which is in Virginia, they put up 63, so great week for them.
Yeah,
great week for the Sun Belt.
Yeah, so let me just ask, who do you believe has the most to prove going into week 3?
I'm going to go. So I think it, because I think there's a lot of teams that probably have something to prove, but you can't, like, I would argue that, like, Alabama has something to prove, but they're going to play UL Monroe. So, like, do they? Yeah. Like, do they have anything to prove this week? But I think for me, from, like, a national landscape, looking at the games this week or this upcoming week, I'm going to go Oregon. So Oregon is this week they're at home, but they're playing BYU, who just beat Baylor in double overtime. BYU's ranked 12th. Oregon's still favored by 4 points. But I think for Oregon, just, I mean, they got dismantled by Georgia. They played Eastern Washington, which is, like, whatever for them. And I think for them, going into BYU, that's a game where they have to kind of show out for it. What about you, though? What do you
think? So, for me, it's got to be Texas A&M. You were the number six ranked team, and you just lost to App State at home. They come into your building and run all over you.
Yes.
Which is just incredible. Without their leading rusher. I don't know if I mentioned that. But
yeah.
Just unreal. And what do you get next week? You got number 12 Miami coming into College Station. So a huge, big questions there. Probably going to see a quarterback change out of Haynes King, who just has not.
God awful. Sorry.
Looked terrible. I believe I have a stat here that's quite interesting. Haynes King had played 5 quarters when they played FCS Sam Houston last week, their week one game. He had played 5 quarters as a starting quarterback at A&M, and he had thrown 4 interceptions. Doesn't look right.
No, it doesn't. A&M, that was a good call out. I was scrolling through the schedule, didn't quite get far enough down to see A&M plays Miami, but yeah. That's a good one, just for them to get back into. Because, I mean, if they want to make any run at the college football playoff, first off, they probably can't lose again. And then they also need good wins.
Yeah, well, we went over there during the break. We kind of talked a little bit about their schedule coming up. They've got number 15 Miami, number 16 Arkansas, a good Mississippi State team, number 1 Alabama, South Carolina, and number 22 Ole Miss. So a tough, tough schedule.
Yeah.
A tough road ahead.
I mean, we were talking worst case scenario. They're 2-7.
Yeah. I mean, we could be looking at a disaster here in College Station. So we're going to get into our final topic today. We're going to get into our predictions. Let me remind everybody. Currently, Joe and Adam are tied at 3-1. My picks were 2-2 last week. Sorry, I didn't see Baylor losing to BYU.
Well, to be fair, did anyone pick that? Because I didn't pick. I picked Baylor.
Anybody did.
The game that I think. Well, I mean, like, so I got Kentucky over Florida.
I had Florida.
I was gonna say, I think you had Florida, and I think Adam had Kentucky, and I think that's the difference. I believe he did.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been the difference. But anyway, let's do it for week two here.
Yeah. So first off, we're going number 12 Miami at number 6 Texas A&M.
Yeah. So wait, number 6?
No, sorry.
Now number 24.
Yeah. Now number 22.
I was going to say.
The season as the number 6.
So. This game's kind of interesting. I think it's Mario Cristobal's at Miami first season, his biggest game, road test. But I think Texas A&M is, like, going to be, like, absurdly mad. Like, they were gonna, and I think, like, Miami is a good team, but I think A&M's a better team than Miami so far. So I'm going to go A&M to win that one.
So I'm going to take Miami here. I think that A&M could be on a bad track here for a little bit, and I think they're going to have a new starting quarterback coming into this game, and that's a tough ask to beat a really good Miami team, even when you have it at home. You just lost at home to an App State.
It's going to be interesting to see. I'm kind of fascinated to see what Kyle Field's even going to be like, because I think when you lose a game like that, and, like, you know, it hasn't happened often at Alabama. I think there's only like 3 losses at Bryant-Denny Stadium in like 10 years. But when you like you think you can't lose there, and then like you do, the next game, it's interesting to see what that's even going to be like. People are going to be like, do we have an advantage? What's going on?
Yeah, will the magic at Kyle Field even be the same?
Yeah, and just for some notes here for the avid listener, Adam picked Texas A&M, so he sent us our predictions pre-show. So he had A&M in this one.
Yeah. So next up in our predictions, we've got Texas Tech, who just knocked off number 25 Houston in an absolutely wild game.
Yes.
Yeah, being from West Texas, I can always say that Lubbock is actually insane. They ripped both goalposts out of position after they stormed the field after beating number 25 ranked team. I don't know.
Yeah, they go a little crazy down
yeah,
there.
You know, very hype about beating a number 25. But they are at number 18, NC State. Who do you have for that?
Yeah, I'm going to go NC State, keep it short. I think NC State's just, like, a good team. I mean, I think it's, like, it's weird to say that with NC State, but I think they just have a little bit more more on their side. I think they got a little bit of the talent edge. Who's the quarterback there? Devin Leary? For NC State, it's a really good quarterback, so I think they're going to take it.
Yeah, so, you know, being 2-2, I'm already down in the predictions, so I've got to try and make a move. And you know what? I'm going to take Texas Tech here. I think they ride the momentum of a huge upset victory last week, and they come out and they shock people.
Mm-hmm.
So next up, we've got Georgia at South Carolina. Oh, yeah. And Adam picked...
NC State, yeah. Georgia at South Carolina is a very intriguing game. I hate that it's at 11 a.m. But I mean, if you know, depending on how long you guys have been listening to college football, it wasn't that long ago Georgia lost to South Carolina in South Carolina, and this South Carolina team is better than whatever team they put out that day. So I'm not going to say South Carolina is going to win the game. I'm going to pick Georgia, but I think it's going to be a better game than I think Georgia's favored by 24.5. I don't think Georgia's going to be able to cover that, but I think they'll win.
Yeah. I'm going to take Georgia as well, but I think it will be interesting. This is going to be Georgia's first real test of the season.
Yeah.
So
it's their first like non-home game, yeah. Really. I mean, they played in Atlanta against Oregon, yeah. And then played was it Samford last week? So yeah,
you gotta love the neutral site games in Atlanta. anyway, so last game of
really
the
quick, I didn't pick Georgia.
Oh yes. Last game of the week for our predictions, number 7 Oklahoma at Nebraska.
Yeah.
I think I know where most people are going to go with this one.
This seemed like a very big game, even just like 2 days ago. Like it seemed because they played last year and it was a pretty good game. Oklahoma won by, I think they only won by like 14, and that included a late touchdown. So. It was a close game last year. The guy had the wild pick. But yeah, no, I don't think Nebraska's going to come close. I'm going to be honest. I don't think, like, Oklahoma might put up like 70 on Nebraska. And yeah, I don't think whoever the head coach is going to be is not going to be beating Oklahoma in this first game.
Yeah. So obviously, just keep it short and sweet. I've got Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Anyway, so I believe that
Adam is Oklahoma too.
Yeah,
for the notes. So
I'm shocked.
Yeah, no, yeah, real surprise, real shocking there.
Yeah. So. Now watch, Nebraska's gonna come out and shock Oklahoma. Anyway, so that will do it for us this week, ladies and gentlemen. This has been the College Football Wrap-Up Show here on 90.7 Caps. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.